This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
The issue of transport and traffic have been ongoing in most major cities around the world. And as cities develop further and more people find personal vehicles affordable, those issues are only going to get worse over time. The ramifications of bad traffic management in urban areas is no joke, right? Carbon emissions will start to spike, quality of work-life fulfillment decreases because you're literally spending hours a day in traffic, and public transportation is severely underused. And according to Premesh Chandran and Ramachandran Muniyandi, the founders of Asia Mobility, that's where the solution lies, in smart systems developed to empower and encourage public transport usage. They've developed a database solution that works on multiple layers, but more importantly, it gives public transport users some amount of control over the choices they make when utilizing a city's public transportation system. The data also allows cities to quote-unquote learn about its traffic and solve related problems accordingly. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I've invited Ramin Prem on the show to help us understand just how Asia Mobility works and what it means for the future of traffic in a city like KL. Explain to us in your own words what Asia Mobility is, because I understand that you gather, you analyze, you translate, you quantify transit data, but what does that mean exactly?
That's right. Basically, we are a mobility as a service technology company. The term MaaS, M-A-A-S, is fairly new in this part of the world, but it basically means turning the needs of transportation for passengers and people in a city from a function to a service. In the same way, software as a service is everywhere now, where rather than buying a software license, or rather than trying to procure server hardware in order for you to get something done, you just pay for what you use and you go online, and it's all cloud-based. So basically, that's what we are. We are building the technology components, the platform, to enable mobility as a service. What does that mean to the regular passenger on the street? We help a passenger travel about a city seamlessly using all forms of available transportation. That includes public transport, your buses, your trains, your light rail systems, and merging that with other forms of private transport and micro-mobility options. You've got obviously a lot of drivers here that own their own cars. We want to be able to integrate driving with parking, with public transport, and making those transfers seamless. And also all other kinds of mobility services like ride hailing, car sharing, scooters, e-bikes, and all of that are integrated in a multimodal service. So multimodal meaning to get from point A to point B, it takes you really a shift between your first mile, your middle mile, and last mile, three different modes of transport to get you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. So that is, in a nutshell, it's quite a long explanation, but in a nutshell, that is mobility as a service. So basically using data, using all kinds of transit data, including public transit data, and making it available on a digital interface, i.e. an app for a user. So one app for all of your mobility needs.
Okay. So when you say collecting data, what kinds of data are you looking for?
Yes. So the platform is obviously a data-driven platform, right? In order to execute mobility as a service in anywhere in the world, the data needs to be there, meaning the data as in, where are the vehicles? Where is my bus? How long is it going to take me to get to point A to point B if I were to use a train versus a bus? And real-time traffic data, weather data, all of those things are really critical data in order to help people move about in a city. And so we have built a platform and are in there, set a suite of technologies and products that would allow us to generate data. Because a lot of the public transit data in Malaysia isn't available. Mm-hmm. So we've got to solve that problem. The data just isn't there. And therefore, that is why we've decided to build out an entire platform and not just a product, not just an app. We need to solve the data problem. We have got some fantastic public transit and public rail infrastructure built. but you don't have the data available to a passenger to plan beforehand. You need to go and wait at a platform or wait at the bus stop before you decide, before you get informed as to when your bus is arriving or when your train is arriving. And so we have built a set of products that is going to solve that problem. Those will be found in our IoT products that will be sitting in buses, in public transit vehicles, that is going to provide us with the data as to where the vehicles are. And then on top of that, we then gather all other public sets of data as well, and we feed that into our cloud system that is our mobility engine. That's a multimodal journey planner. It basically looks at all the data, aggregates it, analyzes it, and then provides that to an end user app.
So obviously, you're looking to solve big issues, citywide issues, probably even regional and global issues. But what is that main gap in the market that you're trying to close with Asia Mobility?
Yeah, we feel that in Southeast Asia, there is a main data gap. The commuting opportunities are not getting to the commuter. And therefore, we are kind of over-reliant on our cars. Mm-hmm. We see in the next 10 years, a movement away from our cars. But in order for that to happen, we really need to make public transport, much more easier, smoother. Journeys need to be more comfortable. And by, putting our devices on buses, getting the data on all this micro transit, first mile, last mile, we feel that the future, you will have much more comfortable, more punctual, more predictable public transport. And that will help people leave their cars behind and opt for taking, public transport measure, freeing up our roads, reducing congestion, reducing our carbon footprint. That's the vision that we see.
The entire suite of technologies is being built from the ground up. We have been building that for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. We're going to market this year. And so we are using Malaysia really as a test bed for mobility as a service in the region for Southeast Asia. Our plan is really obviously to build for Malaysia and then scale that outside of Malaysia to the rest of Southeast Asia. We see that as a one block problem. The problem in KL, the problem in Penang, in JB, you can easily find the same problems elsewhere in all other major cities in Southeast Asia. And therefore, the current market gap obviously is in the data. Where is the data? So we have been focusing on building the IoT products that is going to sit on buses. So these are your typical GPS telematics devices that has always been known as black boxes. So we have built, we have re-engineered the whole idea of how should a GPS telematics device work, whereby the data is based on a common universal standard that allows us to use the data for fleet management, but also use the same data for multimodal journey planning and use the same data that we can onboard the data onto a passenger app. Being able to collate all public transit data onto a single interface, onto a single engine. And so we have done that also. We have actually built a network of public transit data, as in what is actually available out there, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to start with static data first, meaning yep. Before you talk about real-time data, you've got to fix the static data first. So we have compiled and curated an extensive Greater KL public transit data network already in our engine on a free app called Track. You can find that on the App Store and the Play Store. We've just released that. We've just completed our beta program for that. So on one single app, you get all the available public transit data in Greater KL. And then after that, we'll talk about payments. We'll talk about, we'll talk about ticketing. We'll talk about boarding systems. We'll talk about on-demand transit systems. Many people told us when we embarked on this 2 years ago that this is too big a problem for a startup to solve. But we realized that no one is solving it. So then hence, you need a startup to solve it. Yeah.
So give us an example of how this would work in like a real world scenario. So let's take KL for an example. So you're saying that you are finding solutions for KL. An ideal situation where your data is being used, what would those results look like? So could you like paint a picture for me? Like, let's say passenger X starts to use your data, wants to take public transport from point A to point B. What would that look like using your data?
Sure, I'll be very happy to do that. So let's say passenger X lives in Subang Jaya. Oh, I want to get to a client's place, say somewhere in KL, downtown KL. I don't want to stuck in traffic. I need a better way to get there. You download Track. You use Track like how you use Google Maps. Really, it's very intuitive. It's map-based. You tell the app where you are, or the app knows where you are, and you tell it where you want to go. And then it works out for you a whole host of options for travel. One of the options would be, which is the most common one, drive all the way. So you get to compare that to say, if I were to drive to a public transit station and take an LRT, for example, which are the stops I need to get down at? How long would that take? An estimated time, right? So you get to compare, you know, different travel options, and then you choose one. And then when you choose one, it's multimodal. It's from where you are to where you need to be. And so that means there'll be a combination of driving, parking, public transit transfer, and maybe walking at the end, right? So we work that out for the passenger. So it's not a guessing game anymore. The real value or the gold standard here is that in that host of options where it involves public transit, we get real-time data, which is what you get now if you were to choose to drive all the way. But the moment you include public transit in your journey, that ETA capability is thrown out the window. You have no control. You have no idea what is my ETA now if I were to drive, park at a park and ride station and hop on an LRT, right? Or take a bus for that matter. And so now the passenger can plan reliably and choose an option that involves public transit with a real-time ETA as well. That is how it would look like. That is how the data plays out for us.
Right, we are going to take a short break, but stick around because there's more from Asia Mobility and its founders, Prem and Ram, when we come back. BFM 89.9.
Brave, free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I'm joined today by Premesh Chandran and Ramachandran Munyandi, founders of the very interesting Asia Mobility, a company that wants to empower public transport systems and solve traffic issues in the city by using various stages of data collection. Okay, so when it comes to solutions like this, it involves the support of a few other parties and components, maybe even government for it to work smoothly, right? So who needs to be on board for Asia Mobility to fully succeed? Or is it a question of infrastructure more than anything else?
Well, I think we have chosen to really, go the private route first and serve the needs of the private operators. Because they are the ones who need the most help in this case, right? Mm-hmm. There are actually many private bus operators that are operating stage bus services even, and express bus services, and airport bus services. These are all privately run. And these are smaller guys with fleets of maybe between, 20 to 100 buses. The rapid KLs, that's the public run enterprise. And they are obviously the larger player there. They would also be our customer. Because they have got the same needs as well as any other private bus operators, where they want to be able to run their bus services more efficiently. They want to have a richer set of data, and they want to reach their passengers. They want the passengers of their rail services and their bus services to be able to plan their journeys beforehand, right? And so those are our clients. We definitely would like to see improvements on the policy side of things, where the mandate of an open data system, for example, for public transit, because we have seen similar models in other countries and we are definitely big proponents of that, which is why we have built our technology on open data standards as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, once there's a data platform where, mobility providers can provide data, then really it also creates an opportunity for data for mobility entrepreneurs. Anybody can start running a small shuttle from point A to point B, or a neighborhood commuter shuttle, to an MRT station or to the local hospital, and that more and more people can find out about such services being available. So I really hope that, this can be a real benefit for the government as well, because they'll be able to cut back on some routes and allow local entrepreneurs to fill those gaps. So we see it as a win-win situation all around.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Is there a time factor involved when building products and tech for transit? Because traffic situations will change, sometimes very fast. So situations and tech will change as well. And you also mentioned carbon emissions as something that you like to reduce, though that's one of your goals. So when are you aiming for this to be fully implemented, fully functional, and at a certain satisfactory level, up to, according to your benchmarks? What is that timeline like?
we feel that, you know, this, you know, should have been done yesterday. and so, but it is a big problem to solve, like you have mentioned earlier. It is a big problem to solve, but we need to start somewhere. And so before we think about mobility as a service in its full-fledged function where it's all connected and I've got a monthly subscription pass that gives me access to all kinds of transportation solutions, right? Like a Netflix for transport, right? That is really the... That is really the aim and the sort of like gold standard of mobility as a service, where I pay a monthly fee and this service takes care of all of my transportation needs in the city. So whether it's ride hailing, parking, valet services, you know, transit passes, everything. Before we get there, we are a few steps away from, you know, getting there. So we are, you know, very realistic founders. We are not some hotshot 25-year-olds who are just trying to change the world with an app. we have been through enough and seen enough to know what works and what will not work. But this obviously requires us to invest in technology, to invest in the engineering of the technology, and that is what we have done for the last 2 years, and really crafted a strategy and a roadmap that is going to work for Malaysia, because the market isn't just Malaysia for us; it's the rest of Southeast Asia. And also beyond the rest of Asia, in fact. And so there are a few steps, and we are executing phase one right now, which is get the data in, look at the data, study the data, build a data model that works for KL. So we're taking it city by city, step by step, and then build the journey planning algorithms on that, right? So that you work with the data before you talk about, you know, trying to sell tickets. Get the data in there first. So we have not turned on any of the payment stuff yet. The payments is another beast altogether, because you've got to work with all the different e-wallet providers. You've got to work with the validators on the buses and the trains. But it's all very doable, you know, because the technology sets are there already. If we were trying to do this 10 years ago, I would say we stand a very slim chance of success.
I think what we're going to see in the next 10 years is, you know, huge change in transportation. You're going to have, you know, electric cars, autonomous vehicles, and other changes to come. And people are going to change their driving habits. And you can see with COVID and other issues, there are always changes in the transport situation. But I think that, you know, previously when you talk about transport, everybody talks about the vehicles themselves, the buses, the trains, the vehicles. I think what's great about Asia Mobility is that we're the first company looking at the technology, the data, and how to build an ecosystem within the transport providers. And as technology changes and its new innovations in vehicles and energy, such how that ecosystem will become much more fully developed, and that will be a huge benefit for commuters. So I see that, you know, we're at the right time and the right place and building the right technology for this evolution and big changes happening in transport.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, coming to the moving this to other cities and other countries and taking this global, right? What are some of the challenges of doing that in different cities? Because I don't know if my understanding is correct, but when you study data in, let's say, KL, it's a completely different ballgame to studying data in, let's say, Singapore or Manila, yeah. Or maybe even New York, you know? So is it true that when you go to different cities, you always have to start collecting data from scratch? Or can these cities learn from each other?
That's a great question. It is really on a case-by-case basis. For example, let's take Singapore. Singapore has already got a data mall for public transit data. So we could technically launch track for Singapore tomorrow because the data is already available, right? All that we need to do for Singapore right now is we can do that remotely, actually, from KL, is to be able to you know, turn on the multimodal journey planning feature from the data that we will be, you know, getting from the Singaporean data mall. But that's not the case for the rest of Southeast Asia. Singapore lies as an anomaly, as an outlier here, because the other cities in Southeast Asia don't have a Singaporean advantage of a ready data mall. They are very much like KL, where there isn't a data mall. There isn't a repository of all public transit data. Somebody has to build it. Somebody has to start collecting it. And so hence, that is why we decided to really invest in building our own IoT products, because the IoT products form as data generation tools for us. And so what it means for us is that if say we would like to launch into, let's say, Bangkok next month, right? we would very likely employ a similar KL model, whereby we have got the app built, we have got the cloud engine built, we have got an IoT device built. We would get a fleet operator there who would like to say, look, it's time for me to get my data into the hands of passengers. In the same way that we are trying to enlist and onboard, you know, private bus operators here, the same thing we would do in Bangkok. And then at the same time also start building out and curating the public transit network data. And that data actually kind of exists, but it, you know, does not exist in a machine readable format everywhere. And that's where we have built tools already. Based on our KL experience, we have built tools that would be able to do that fairly quickly and reliably. So that's how we would scale and enter into other newer cities from a point of view of we are providing value immediately to the supply and to the demand.
I think you see cities copying each other very quickly. You can see now, for example, toll highways everywhere or train systems everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Cities tend to look at each other and see what works elsewhere and then adopt it. So what we feel best is that if we could build successful models here and elsewhere in the main areas, then you can other cities will then come in and say, look, we want similar solutions. We want to adopt a data strategy, an ecosystem strategy. And also keep in mind is that we're not just talking about capitals. We're also talking about a lot about the smaller cities, the Seremban, yeah. The Bintakas, the Kota Barus, right? Where, you know, at the moment you have some sort of bus system, but people don't know whether it's really reliable. And the other very important thing is to actually track, you know, kind of usage and occupancy and understand where people actually want to go from A to B. So we're also investing and have good partnerships around mobility data so that we understand patterns of mobility during early peak hours, non-peak hours, during the weekends. So over time, transport can become much more responsive to people's movements rather than people having to adopt to, you know, where the transport lines are at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is the huge amount of benefits we get from better data and integrated set of data around transit.
Right, we need to take another quick break, but stick around because Open for Business will be back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Busy finding money. BFM 89.9.
Ram and Prem are the founders of Asia Mobility, and they're also our guests on today's Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and we are talking about solving traffic problems in major cities, starting right here in KL. What kinds of challenges are you guys facing at the moment with, you know, it doesn't have to be with the data collection, but it can be with implementation, can be with the business itself. What are some of those major challenges?
Yeah, I think as a startup, we are very much prone to all the regular startup challenges. I think, you know, number one would be funding and financing.
Mm-hmm.
We are obviously, you know, one of a kind. So therefore, we have got a lot of interest from funders. But at the same time, that is both a pro and a con, right? Because we are basically the only ones trying to solve this problem here.
Yeah.
So the risk is there. So funding is obviously a big challenge. We have raised two rounds of funding already. In fact, we've just raised a round of funding during the pandemic, during the lockdown. And our number two is in terms of talent. We are, you know, building the deep technology from the ground up. So as you can imagine, it's full stack, not just software, hardware. So I've got IoT engineers, I've got cloud engineers, I've got machine learning engineers, I've got designers. I need all of those skill sets. And finding that is a challenge, and finding people at the right price is a challenge, right? We are a startup. We can't be paying, you know, we have got a different scale that we need to manage. And, you know, doing all of that and building out a platform from day one, that is a challenge. We feel that is necessary because transportation is a multifaceted problem. Transportation can't be solved with an app. Transportation can't be solved with just an IoT device. So you need all of these different components to work well with each other, integrated, and also to work well with other systems.
Yeah, I think, you know, we really look forward to working with other mobility providers both government and in the private sector. I think working together, cooperating, understanding the data, opening up the data is going to be key to making all this a success.
So I think, you know, a good place to sort of cap the interview would be to talk about expansion, because growth plans for a lot of companies have changed because of the year that we are in. You know, lots of plans that people had at the beginning of the year are not the same now. What are your growth plans? Because even transit and transport itself has changed so much within the last 6 months. So what are your expansion plans? What is on the horizon for Asia Mobility?
Yeah, definitely from a growth plan, you know, the COVID pandemic has accelerated our roadmap for us. Mm-hmm. What we thought the market would be ready for in 2 years, they are, you know, ready for it now, because the public transit landscape is being disrupted in a major way. The need for real-time data, the need for a more digital experience for public transit, and how can we use data to dynamically manage our transit services, right? That has now come to the fore. So we see our growth really, you know, climbing at a good rate this year. Obviously, at the start of the, you know, pandemic, there was a lot of concern, a lot of calls by everybody as to how long is this going to last and what sort of change can we expect. We basically hang in there, you know, continued working, raised money, and then we are coming out of it seeing all of our prospects, all of our plans are now on full gas mode, right? Like it's like all on right now. So it is all green for us. So we, you know, definitely see us going into the market very aggressively this year with all of our, you know, private bus operators and all the transit fleet, you know, suppliers as well. And then after that, scaling it to the rest of Malaysia. We are, you know, are already talking to a few people in Penang and in JB and in East Malaysia as well, a few of those capital cities there. Those are ideal target cities for us. And once you have built the technology to scale it, it is a small effort that is required because we don't need to rebuild and re-engineer everything. And that's the beauty of, you know, building it on the cloud and, you know, building a platform. The platform scales. And then after that, also, we have also got interest from outside of Malaysia already. Vietnam is appearing on the radar. Thailand and Indonesia is appearing on the radar. So, yes, we are quite surprised to see the interest from outside of Malaysia already right now. So we are very excited with the growth, you know, prospects. We want to show that we both Prem and I are both very proud Malaysians. Yeah. And, you know, that is why we have decided to build a Malaysian team. We are 100% Malaysian team doing this. We will always be based in Malaysia, where we build the technology out for the rest of Asia. Hence, that's the name of the company as well. We are under no illusion that that is our aim and that is who we want to be. We want to be able to learn from Malaysia, but then use the learnings and apply solutions for the other countries in the region.
Yeah, I just want to mention that, you know, we're working on two projects. One is with MITE, the Malaysian Industry Government Group on Higher Technology, and that supports a partnership with the UK, the UK Innovate and partners there. And together we are kind of looking at the landscape in terms of transport and looking at what the technology is required in the city. And that looks like a very interesting partnership, and it's coming along well. We're also working with a project with the Toyota Mobility Foundation. It's a challenge. It's called the City Architecture for Tomorrow Challenge, and that's really interesting. And their local partner here is DBKL, and we're looking at some very interesting first-mile, last-mile mobility analytics solutions. So it's really a lot on the cards, and it's going to be a great year ahead. Look out for a huge shift in mobility.
Ram, Prem, thanks so much for doing this and for a very, very interesting conversation.
Thank you, Arvin. This is such a real pleasure and an honor for us to come on our first radio talk show, really. We have been operating under the radar all this while. We are really happy to do this.
Yes, thanks so much, Arvin. We look forward to more conversations on BFM, my favorite radio station.
Right, that was Ramachandran Munyandi and Primesh Chandran, founders of Asia Mobility, talking about empowering the public transportation system with data. This interview is also available via podcast on the BFM website, which is bfm.my. You can also get it on the BFM app, which you can download for free on the Apple App Store on Google Play. Alternatively, we are on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section, so stream us there. This has been Arvind Ubaraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.